2004. Competence Recovery is focused and dedicated to provide information, support, and resources to individuals who currently experience the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. I have an exciting guest today. Bobby Krause is the president and founder of the Be Still Foundation. Bobby, thank you so much for taking the time to be a guest on the radio show today.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you for the opportunity to share my Parkinson's journey with you and your listeners.
So tell us all, if you would please, Bobby, about yourself before you actually began experiencing Parkinson's symptoms.
Certainly, Robert. So pre-Parkinson's, and these are a couple of points I think to kind of remember as we layer through the interview here today, but I'm about 6'7", 300 pounds. I'm a former high school athlete and college athlete, always involved in something, extremely active, depending on the season and the sport. As an executive in the corporate world, I had plenty of opportunities to speak in front of large groups. In fact, for many of my years of my career, I worked in the fitness equipment industry. So again, with that activity and lifestyle, was always doing something, always on the move, traveling a lot for work, traveling internationally. And then as the career slowed down a little bit, my wife and I were honored and blessed to have two teenage boys that I spent a lot of my time either coaching basketball, mentoring, and doing a variety of other activities, but always wanted to be a very active father in my son's life. Personality-wise, Robert, I was always known as kind of the life of the party, always trying to find a reason and an excuse to create a memory, you know, whether that's a birthday, certainly, another celebration, or even just a fictitious one that we would make up just for an opportunity to celebrate, get family and friends together, and enjoy life.
Bobby, when were you officially diagnosed with Parkinson's, and what were your symptoms?
So unofficially, Robert, around the age of 40, I started noticing what I called a kind of a nervous tick in my left arm. At the time, and again, as I mentioned, I was in the fitness industry. The company I was with, we actually developed the concept of standing desks and treadmill desks and bike desks. And I had thought for a long period of time that this nervous tick was maybe a result of a nerve impingement. Maybe I wasn't using my desk properly, ergonomically, and therefore was creating an impingement. But it wasn't until the age of 42 in 2016, after spending time with my primary physician and a neurologist, who I think both were quite honestly afraid to tell me what the diagnosis was, referred me to a movement disorder specialist down at the University of Penn. And at the age of 42, I was officially diagnosed with young onset Parkinson's, being tremor dominant.
How did you initially treat your symptoms, and what were the pros and cons of those treatments?
Yeah, Robert, it was a very interesting roadmap that I took from the age of 42 to where I'm at today at the age of 50. Initially, I think like many people, we just simply go the medication route. That was what was prescribed to me by the neurologist up front. So obviously the typical gamut of carbidopa, levodopa, some form of anxiety reducer, et cetera. And what I quite honestly found for me, Robert, was the medication was probably worse than the disease itself. So the catalyst for me 4 years into this was I had a 12-year-old birthday party for my son, Aiden, and came around the corner and caught him talking to some of his friends and apologizing for the way that dad was behaving. It's not him, it's the medication. So at that point, I immediately went in, took all my medication, flushed it down the toilet, and told myself and family there had to be a better way to treat the symptoms that I was having from Parkinson's. So at that point, I worked with my movement disorder specialist, and we went on a holistic route initially that lasted roughly 2 years until it plateaued out. But I was on a medication withdrawal that created everything from depression to anxiety the anger, night terrors. It caused me to really become reclusive. As I mentioned earlier, I was very much the extrovert. Pre-Parkinson's, I've now became an introvert, in bed by 6:30 at night. And it was just time to treat myself and my body better than what the medication was doing. So I got onto a form of, let's say, precursor for dopamine called Mucuna Purines that I tried for roughly 2 years with good success. It helped reduce my tremors to some level, along with a switch over to more of a Mediterranean diet, and then also enlisting and signing up for a class called Rock Steady Boxing, which is a Parkinson's exercise class that was extremely beneficial. It wasn't until 2018, though, that I was made aware of some opportunities to take the symptom relief to the next level. But again, at this point, Robert, I was really focusing on exercise, diet, reducing stress and anxiety, and getting rid of the medication was the way that I was treating my symptoms at the time.
Bobby, how and when did you become aware of focused ultrasound?
Yeah, so in 2016, my movement disorder specialist made me aware of some clinical trials that were occurring by a company called InsightTech that was using focused ultrasound to treat tremors in patients that have both Parkinson's disease as well as essential tremors. And as I went through that process, it was something that was very interesting to me. It's incisionless. There's no overnight stay. There's a very quick relief of the symptoms that happen. And it seemed like there was promising trials that were occurring with FDA at the time.
So once you learned about focused ultrasound, what were your next steps with your family and medical team?
Yes, I was very fortunate. Not many people have the opportunity to meet with a movement disorder specialist. So in conjunction with her, the neurosurgeon at Penn, and my family, we sat down and reviewed all the options that were available to me as a young onset patient, and we all determined the best course of action. So we discussed, obviously, medication route, which, as I discussed earlier, wasn't a good fit for me. Then we discussed DBS, which is considered the gold standard for movement disorder treatment, but it does involve implanting hardware into the skull with a attached pacemaker down into the chest area. And at the time for me, Robert, and where I'm at from an age perspective, really wasn't interested in going through a multiple surgery step process to get to that point, knowing that there were some other solutions that could possibly grant me very similar relief, but in a non-invasive manner. So at that time, we all sat down and said, okay, based on your time, based on my age, based on my outcomes and what I was trying to get to, which was becoming an active father again, being able to maintain my position in the executive world, being the father and husband that I was destined to be, we determined that focused ultrasound was the best solution for me, knowing that down the road, if I so chose, I could go to the DBS route if desired at a later time.
Take us through the day of your scheduled treatment.
Yeah, interesting day. Probably on one hand, Robert, one of the best days of my life, and on the other hand, probably one of the most nerve-wracking days of my life. So as we left that morning at roughly 8 a.m. down to the University of Pennsylvania, there was obviously a lot of apprehension. Anytime dealing with the brain and, you know, there's always concern of what could happen and how I'm going to respond and how I'm going to react. And I think at the end of the day for me was my hope had built up so high that I was concerned that, you know, what if my expectations weren't met? And, you know, struggling with where I would be as a 48-year-old man. So the drive down was very quiet. We got into the waiting room, and again, this is at the time in 2022. They're just finishing up the back end of COVID. So face mask coverage is happening. Everybody's kind of distant in the waiting room. And about 2 hours later, they finally called my name to go into to prep for the procedure for that day. For the procedure, it involves shaving of the head, so that can be a challenge for women patients who go through this procedure. Obviously, the hair will grow back, but because of the temperatures that the focus ultrasound gets to, it requires that, so there's no impedance of those ultrasound waves going into the targeted area of the brain that they're going to be doing the ablation. So got shaved, got ready for the event. They do have to put a halo around the brain, around the head, that uses some temporary screws to tighten to keep the brain still, or the head still. And then it goes around into a cradle where there's kind of a cooling unit, per se, that circulates cold water. So as the focus ultrasound treatment is occurring, it's able to keep the brain at a good temperature, knowing that inside the brain with the focus ultrasound waves, it's getting up to roughly 160 degrees maximum temperature during these, what they call either a sonication or a zap. So once we were prepared, I had the halo installed. We went down to the MRI room, and the doctors were able to kind of fine-tune where they were going to provide the ablation on the brain, on the thalamus, that would hopefully rewire and reconfigure my synapses of the brain so that the tremors are subsided. So as we're in there doing that, and as mentioned earlier, because of my size, that whole process of being in an MRI tube for a longer period of time is a challenge within itself, as many of your listeners are very aware. But for me, because of my size, actually, as they pulled me into the tube, you could hear the sides of my arm squeaking against the wall. And then they had to stuff yoga blocks in as well because of the importance of keeping everything straight. And for those that have Parkinson's, and especially tremor-dominant Parkinson's, we all know that when we lay flat and when we're still is when our tremors are the worst. And then you throw on top of that anxiety and stress. And my tremors were at my boys used to say thumper from the movie Bambi. My tremors were just going at an extremely rapid rate. And to try to ease the situation, the nurse asked if I could actually be still during the procedure, to which we laughed once we recognized, you know, why I was there for my procedure. But the way it's explained in layman terms, Robert, is when they do the focus ultrasound, if you think of when we were younger and we were kids, and you take a magnifying glass, and you would take it outside and you would look for that blade of grass or some sort of paper that you could use the sun's energy to kind of focus through the magnifying glass, and you would see the little bit of smoke come up from whatever that you're trying to catch fire. That's essentially what's happening with focus ultrasound. Instead of there being a ring around the area of treatment, all of the focus ultrasound waves are going on to one micromillimeter of a point, about the size of a pea on the thalamus of the brain, which then gets ablated, and again, the brain will rewire. So what they do is, as you get into the MRI machine, you're awake the entire time, which is a very unique experience within itself. They perform what they call sonications. They're just small little, like I said, I've heard them referred to as zaps, but they're just 10 to 15 second increments where they're heating up the brain at that desired spot to elicit the outcome they want. So most people will go in from as few as three, you know, as many as six or seven of these short bursts of focus ultrasound waves to correct the issues, until they know they have the area covered. For me, it happened to be five. But what was really interesting for me, and again, being awake during this whole procedure, was probably one of the greatest experiences of my life, where I had a debilitating tremor for a little over 8 years. And being in the tube and being fully awake and hearing the doctor talk in my ear and count down and telling me that in 5 seconds my tremors were going to go away was a miracle within itself. So on the third sonication, Robert, when I was in there, because of the dystonia and the Parkinson's symptoms I had, as an example, my toes curled under my foot, and I basically was walking on my toes for years, so the tops of my feet were bruised and extremely sore. So for those that have been in an MRI and they have that little mechanism that you can look down the screen to see outside of the tube, on the third sonication they counted down. I could feel the brain warming up. I could feel the cold circulating water around the skull. I looked down at my toes, and when that treatment was done, my toes completely unfurled and were completely relaxed. At that point, I knew that I was going to get the outcome that I wanted on the fourth sonication I was in. As I came back out, I noticed that my body almost completely kind of molded to the circularity of the MRI tube, and all the rigidness and the tightness of the body, my muscles had just released. And then lastly, on the fifth sonication, which was the coup de grace per se, as I was in there, they counted down, and that was when my tremors completely dissipated. Again, in real time, I remember just sobbing as I looked down at my arm and saw that it wasn't shaking, and realizing that my quality of life had just changed significantly in real time using incredible technology and innovation from some amazing doctors. Once I was done that aspect of it, that took roughly 2 hours, Robert, between going in and out, testing me. Between each of the sonications, they would have you do various exercises with your hands just to see where you were calibrated at, making sure that, again, they were at the right spot of the thalamus and they were seeing the response that they wanted. But once that was done, after about 2 hours, I went up to the recovery room, which lasted about an hour in time. And I had to go back for one more MRI just to make sure that the area that they targeted, was in fact ablated and everything was good and ready to go. And then the next part of the procedure really involved my family, which was a very interesting dynamic. Again, they saw me at my worst. And being in the hospital at that point and going through the procedure I did, and again, it is a same-day procedure. At around 5 o'clock at night, they had to wheel me out to the car where my wife was waiting. And because of my size, my wife was concerned about how much she was going to have to lift and maneuver me into the car. As soon as they wheeled the wheelchair out the front door, I immediately jumped out of the wheelchair and kind of jogged to the car. So that was something that kind of brought a smile to her face, how quickly I was able to recover from the procedure. And then as we got home to see my boys that night, and I hadn't done this for years, Robert, but it was around 11 o'clock at night. I went to the boys' bedrooms, took some flashlights down, and we all went for a walk that night. Had all the energy in the world, and again, ready to regain the quality of life that I had lost for so many years.
Bobby, what side effects did you experience from the procedure?
Yes, that's one thing that my movement disorder specialist and the neurologist and neurosurgeon got me very well prepped for. So there's kind of two known issues that can evolve from the procedure, but they're both known to be corrected typically within 2 to 4 weeks. The first was a gait imbalance. So again, for the past 8 years, the left side of my body was kind of rocked with tremors, and my left side of the body was accustomed to compensating. So there was a little bit of a gait imbalance, but through physical therapy that was remedied within 2 to 3 weeks. And then there was some spatial recognition issues that I had. So as I would come up to a rolling stop sign, sometimes I would go a couple feet, past the stop sign. So we had to obviously accommodate for some of that, but that lasted roughly 2 to 3 weeks as well. As an example, I would turn too early going through a door and would often hit the door jamb with my shoulders. But again, within 2 to 3 weeks, all the side effects had completely subsided.
It is now, as I understand it, been 2 years since your focused ultrasound procedure. Are you experiencing tremors again?
Yeah, that's a question I get often from people that I know and people that I've been able to reach in the Parkinson's and essential tremors community. Is I'm still 100% completely tremor-free, which, again, I think I err on the side of the better results of the procedure. Typically, I've been told they typically will see an 80% improvement of tremors. I don't know if it's due to age or just the way I responded, but 100% completely subsided. And the other question I often get is, well, how often do you have to go back and get a touch-up? And I always explain to them, it's not like a LASIK surgery. This is a once-and-done procedure. So for me, again, having that ablation rewired the brain, and I've been told that I'm good to go for the rest of my days on this earth. Now, now that I have these tremors subsided, I can work on and really focus on some of the other symptoms that I've that I have through Parkinson's as well. But again, I was tremor dominant Parkinson's, so this was able to remedy the majority of my symptoms without the need for ongoing medication and other forms of treatment.
Bobby, you're the founder of the Be Still Foundation. What led you to create that foundation?
Yeah, since I've had my procedure, I've had the opportunity and privilege to speak at venues like Capitol Hill, Princeton University, and a lot of Parkinson's disease communities like Rock Steady Boxing and other support groups. And what I saw, Robert, was as I told my story, you know, people who sat there with tremors for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, finally having some sort of glimpse of hope and finally being made aware of this procedure of focus ultrasound. Again, it's relatively new to the market. You know, so many neurologists and the like are so willing to go the medication route. We just don't have enough people sharing the story about innovations like focus ultrasound that can treat tremors and other indications. So again, just to kind of keep in mind there, Robert, the procedure that I had, you know, focuses on the tremors. It's not a panacea for Parkinson's, but for those that are really experiencing tremors as either a dominant symptom or those that have essential tremors, which is about 10 times the audience size of Parkinson's, there's now actually a non-invasive, incisionless opportunity for them to get a procedure that can mitigate their symptom relief significantly. So as we shared our story, we quickly noticed that there was two things that were occurring. Again, there was a huge need for an awareness and an education of this procedure. And then secondarily, there was also a big gap in insurance coverage and being provided and afforded the opportunity to get this type of procedure done. So I was very blessed and fortunate to have my wife's company take care of all the out-of-pocket expenses, which can range up to $50,000 per side of the brain to be treated. But I was very fortunate to have that company step in and say, hey, we're investing in you and the family, and we're willing to pay for this cost. So what I wanted to do was to pay it forward. So I was fortunate enough to be in a position where I could leave the corporate world and put 100% of my time and energy into the Be Still Foundation, which our tagline is offering hope and healing and triumph over tremors.
Bobby, for those interested in this, how can they support the Be Still Foundation?
Yeah, there's quite a few ways. So one is we do have a website of www.bestill.foundation. There you can read my story in more depth and the struggles, but ultimately the triumph that was experienced through this procedure. While on the website, you can access the social media sites that, again, will provide the education, awareness, opportunities to donate financially. And then ultimately what we're looking to do, Robert, is create an advocacy network so others like myself can be a cheerleader for the procedure, for those that are wanting to take a different course of action other than medication, provide that awareness, and then I think ultimately provide those financial resources for those who want and would qualify for the procedure but don't have the financial wherewithal, whether it's insurance-related or out-of-pocket expenses, travel expenses, whatever it may be. We want to make sure there's no limiting reasons why that person doesn't go forward with the procedure of focus ultrasound. And we have some pretty lofty goals this year, Robert. Actually, over the next 5 years, the foundation has really targeted the 1,000 patient mark as what our five-year goal is, to give 1,000 people in the United States a significant opportunity to improve their quality of life. As mentioned earlier, with my lifestyle, I was always active and involved in coaching and doing things with the kids. For about 8 years, because of the way that the medication and going the holistic route made me feel, I really pulled back from those things. This year was the first year that I got back to coaching my sons again. We're back to having parties at the house again, and I feel like I haven't felt in a long, long time, actively working out with my Rock Steady Boxing group, and again, really attribute this huge increase in quality of life to the Focus Ultrasound Foundation that I had performed at University of Pennsylvania and made available by Insight Tech. I really wanted to make sure I...
Go ahead, Bobby.
I just want to make sure I thanked you and this platform for allowing me to share my journey, my story. There's so many people out there looking for hope and healing through this process. Knowing that there are other options and the solutions, you know, really is a knowledge is power. So, again, I appreciate the opportunity to share my story.
Well, Bobby, I thank you for being able to tell everybody about this option, which really sounds like an exciting opportunity. Could you please very slowly spell out the URL or the address of your website, Be Still Foundation?
Certainly. It's www.bestill.foundation, FOUNDATION.
My final question for you, Bobby Krause, is as people are reflecting back on having listened to your presentation today, let's say it's 1 week or 2 weeks from now, what would you most want them to remember about your presentation?
For me, I think it's important to control what you can control, become educated and aware of the options that are out there. I mean, that is the beauty and sometimes the downfall of the Internet is the fact that you can find and learn so much about so many things, but then obviously there's a two-edged sword where sometimes that isn't realistically communicated. But again, I think through foundations like the Be Still Foundation, where we have an advocacy network where you can talk to actual patients who have gone through this procedure, you can hear our stories as to why we decided to go this route. It allows you to have more information to make the best decision that's best directed for you and your family as you make this important decision on how you're going to treat and manage your symptoms today, tomorrow, and going forward.
Bobby Krause, thank you from the bottom of my heart for this spectacular and motivating presentation that will inspire thousands of persons who are members of the Parkinson's Recovery audience. It's been a true blessing for everyone.
Thank you, Robert.
And that's what's happening on the You Guessed It Shores of the Puget Sound, where all of the women are smart, all the men are, of course, handsome, and all of the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the simple fact that you have taken the time to listen to this amazing and incredible presentation by Bobby Krause, that you indeed are traveling down the road to recovery using your own choices and your own best intuition. Thanks so much for being a supporter of what we do here at Parkinson's Recovery. Good day.